Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, the Freak Show happens. We pick a movie round robin and sit here and talk about it for hours. No, I mean for your edification and listening enjoyment. I'm Colin. I'm surrounded by the internet radio superstars.
Brent.
Jenny.
Travis.
And tonight we watched Brent's movie pick. Brent, what did we watch tonight?
We watched Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
From the year?
91.
Directed by?
James Cameron.
Wait, was that a question? Did we know this?
I think it was 91.
It's 91.
Yeah. 91.
All right, there you go. So this is on your history of time travel movies for the year 2015, as signified by Back to the Future Part 3? No. Two? Two, right? Jesus.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the cowboy one. The three, yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, so why'd you pick Terminator 2?
Because it deals with time travel. Well, are you almost saying it versus the first one?
Well, that's a good question, Brent. Why'd you pick Terminator 2 over the first one?
Because I don't know. I've always...
What was your explanation this afternoon, Brent?
I don't know. What was it?
Because you're a purist, and so Terminator 2 only matters?
Yes. Well, I am a purist, and it might be because of my... I saw it early on, and I maybe it's because I recollect it better than Terminator 1, but also I feel like in hindsight, having seen both of them now, I do feel like Terminator 2 is the superior film. between the two.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I don't want to talk much about the first Terminator. I'm sure we're going to get into a little bit, but I would actually say the first Terminator is more of a time travel story because you actually get a time travel like loophole in there. You get a, you know, where this really just uses, you know, time travel to get there.
Well, it's like it's the inverse of the first one in that this, yeah, in the first one, machines are sending someone back. They're trying to change the past, right?
And then the humans discover it.
And in this one, it's you know, Sarah Connor and John Connor trying to change the future.
Yeah.
But I think it's crazy that they're just right off the bat, they're like, Skynet sent two Terminators back. And it's like, what? Kyle Reese didn't say nothing about no sending two Terminators back. And if you sent two Terminators back at the same time, why would you fucking send a T-800 to 1984
I know.
And a fucking awesome-ass T-1000 to 1994?
This time around. I like, hadn't really thought about that before because it's like a sequel and you have to make a bigger, a better bad guy, right?
Yeah.
It's like in the first one, you had the awesome Terminator, but by the second one, it's like we need to have this liquid metal thing that we, you know, it's better production value. It raises the stakes. But it's like, if you had that at the same time that you sent the first one back, why didn't you send the better model back?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say I think Terminator runs on the same time travel principle as fucking Bill and Ted, that time is constantly moving forward. Because you got to think about it. If they sent the T-800 back, okay. It's like the human, the way I kind of pictured it, the way it was described to me in the Terminator films, the humans, like, bust in as they send a Terminator back. So they get to send Kyle Reese back in time, right? And in this, they're saying, well, then they sent another Terminator back in time. Because the computers at least had to figure, fuck, they sent a dude back in time. Oh, shit.
This is a counter move to Kyle Reese.
So they computed and understood, like, fuck. Damn it, we failed. We gotta send a better, because the human still, John Connor's in the future, gets a better Terminator than the first one still. He gets a Model 101, not a T-800. So they even get a better.
I thought he was the same model.
Yeah, he is the same
no,
model.
No, he's not.
The
Terminator is a T-800. He is a Model 101.
Mm-mm. Cyberdyne Systems Model 101 or something like that.
He's not a T-800. Really? Are you sure?
Yeah, it's the T-800 for Arnold, but then the other guy, the Melty Liquid.
Is the T-1000.
Yes. So the 800 is also a Cyberdyne System Model 101? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, here's the thing, then.
Why is it called T-800?
I guess, because if in the time travel or the timeline, right? It's said, I think, in the first movie that when Kyle Reese is like, you know, Skynet had lost, they, you know, and they knew that they were beaten. We'd won. The only way that they could win the war is by sending a guy back in time. And then the humans go in and they smash the mainframe and all that, but only after they send Kyle Reese. So he doesn't see that happen. He knows that this is going to happen, right? So he goes through the time travel thing. And then it's like either if Skynet is dead at that point, they can't compute like, hey, they sent Kyle Reese. They have to have had sent two Terminators at the same time, but Kyle Reese was unaware of this fact. John Connor just said, hey, you go to here. And then after he like blipped out of existence, he's like turns to his guy and is like, hey, we got to send another one. And it's this beaten one that I shot out in the field. We're going to reprogram him and send him back after the T-1000.
Insurance. Do you think that as soon as they send them, like as soon as Kyle Reese gets sent, he blips out of existence in the future, if nothing changes, then shouldn't it? I mean, I guess they would never know though, right? Because they would be experiencing the future. You would think that the world, the universe would just transform around them if he succeeded. If he doesn't, then they have to wait for the other Terminator to succeed. But in any case, even if it's happening in 94, like the shit around them should still change. You know, everything that they know, their world should change if Arnold succeeded in his mission in 94, right?
Well, I mean, that depends on what theory of time travel you subscribe to. And I don't know what, you know, specifically the movie works with because, you know, there's that idea that you're in your own pocket universe. And basically, like, if, you know, if the future's changed, you're still living out a timeline, an alternate timeline. So it's been changed for the people in the past going through it for the first time. Their first time will be on an alternate timeline where Skynet doesn't exist. Which is kind of, I guess, what must be happening here, which also, I think, violates the terms of the first movie. In Terminator 2, you actually have the heroes altering the future, and so there is no Skynet, so there can't be a Terminator. So here you've got like these sci-fi things from the future that show up from a future that doesn't exist anymore.
What do you mean there's no Skynet?
Because they stopped it in this.
No, they stopped Cyberdyne. They didn't stop Skynet. Well, Skynet is a government program. Yeah, Cyberdyne is just what develops the...
Yeah, but they never got that far because he says, the Terminator says in a few months they create this thing or whatever. A few months from now, blah, blah, blah. So they stopped that from happening.
Skynet goes online. I don't know if they do stop Skynet from going online, though. They stopped Cyberdyne from creating the processing unit that would create the Terminators and the drones and all that shit. They don't necessarily stop Skynet.
Oh, I guess I always read that as that was them stopping. Yeah, because we got Skynet by the balls now. They're stopping.
Well, because they need that. They need the processing unit.
Yeah,
they
that's need what the that whole chip. Thing is based on. Yeah, the whole Skynet.
But they can pretty much still because okay, in a world where because this is the same way the first movie is like, I sent my own dad back in time to whatever. This is also. Well, my first Terminator that got sent back in time is what created Judgment Day. You know,
right.
I mean,
it
tries to do another like loophole. And I still think that the world itself naturally was supposed to create that processing unit. You know, even without the help from 84, I mean, no matter what, I think you could get there. I think you could still get there. I mean, they just had a leap forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what. So if anything, they just, I mean, yeah. They
well, that
just,
is kind of the premise of the third one, right? Isn't it that, like, even though you changed Judgment Day, it stopped it from happening.
Pushed it back.
Yeah. Somehow nature, time, like, always makes that you know, yeah. that key moment happen.
No but the what. Third one we don't talk about.
All right, we're not going to talk about the third one.
So I've always fucking loved the opening of this movie where you still think Terminator's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He goes into the bar naked and everybody's reacting all weird about him, you know? And then people start to fucking knife each other. I thought it was a very brutal opening. I love
the women's reactions when they see him. Like, there's yeah. one waitress, like, hearing the
overacting
like,
waitress.
Yeah. She goes,
no, there's something in that scene. The brutality, it's from the sound effects. Like, because you hear it's the certain snap and crack that they have in all those, like.
Every time Terminator touches somebody, he breaks their arm.
But he doesn't kill him, though.
That's
true. Yeah.
That's. The fact that people like yell like "get it out" and shit, like when they
get stay, it out, get it out, out, get it out,
take it out.
Well, the one it's thing like, now, like yeah. watching this now, you know, it's like, you know, the he comes out of the bar and he's dressed in black leather, and it's like, okay, I get that. In the first one, he was dressed in black leather, so they at least, you know, because he's next to he comes up next to a biker bar is where he arrives. That okay, I could take that. He comes out bad to the bones, playing. It's like. Okay, so you're scoring a humor point here. And then he, like, goes up to the...
Well, they made that song cool again.
Yeah,
I remember. Back in 1991, they made that song cool again. Like, I would say my generation. I was fucking...
I'd say that's true.
91? I was 9 when this movie came out. So it's like that song in this movie was one of those things that like I would have probably even never George Thorogood probably would have been on anybody's playlist, not even be on the fucking radio if it wasn't for Terminator 2. I think
maybe
could be wrong.
But after that, the guy who says I can't let you take the man's wheel, son. He goes up and steals his sunglasses. And this time around, I was like, wait, why is he fucking taking his sunglasses? Other than to just be cool looking and to look like the Terminator from the first one.
Yeah, it's so
the
first Sarah one, Connors can react.
He takes the sunglasses in the first one because just he did eye eyes. Surgery and has to blend in, so that's how he's going to do it. Yeah. In this one, it's like, all right, so this is just to be cool?
Is this a
machine that wants to be cool? What the hell has happened?
Yeah. It's so Sarah Connor can freak out that it's the exact same Terminator. Because that's when he loses the glasses. As soon as she gets her reaction out of the way that it's not the first Terminator,
he takes
the glasses off. And then he's like, come with me if you want to leave.
No, he's already lost the glasses by that point.
Nope.
I think it's that scene.
It's that scene.
The girl punches him.
The butch guard lady. Yeah, the one with like the Elvis like fucking like just like straight like comb back hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she smacks him in the head and then she.
Yeah, I think they had to have him in sunglasses. I just think that's one of the requirements of the sequel because that is the image from the first movie that, you know,
was on all the strong. Posters.
Yeah.
It's the blockbuster joke. You know, that's you do that for the audience. And,
yeah.
You know, it just doesn't like a lot of the film doesn't feel like that. But there are moments where it just totally panders to the audience just for a laugh.
Yeah.
And it's a very serious movie, but it has its moments of cheese for sure.
Yeah. Not that I hold it against it, but it's like, it's kind of like you violated your own logic to do this little bit of, you know, and score an entertainment point.
Yeah.
It's like you do score the entertainment point, so it worked. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like your own internal logic just kind of.
Well, I think as soon as you come with a good guy Terminator to me, you're playing on like. I mean, I was saying to these guys outside. It's like, this is why Velociraptors are the good guys in Jurassic World, right?
Spoilers.
Now.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. No, it's in the trailer. It's in the trailer that dude trains him. And he's riding motorcycles together. it's just the idea that, like. Once these characters become kind of iconic, you turn them into good guys and turn them into the relatable selling point for the audience. And, you know, it's a little cheap to me. It's just the same way. It's like, what if an alien was the good guy in an alien movie? I mean, you basically had that in Predators.
I think it's an interesting concept to explore in this film. Just be like, I think halfway through, Sarah Connor says, you know, of all the would-be fathers, a machine, a Terminator, is the best choice. And that's an interesting concept to think about, you know, whatever point Cameron's trying to make with that. But the idea that this this machine will, you know, it'll never stop. And the fact that it can learn and it can process, you know, human emotion by the end, with the line that you hate, obviously.
Oh, yeah. We'll get
but
there.
But that's just, I don't know. It's so different from, like you said, just the machine in the first one just walking and killing.
Well, I think James Cameron was basically what I call Spielberging up, you know, major sci-fi movies back in the 80s. He took Aliens, and even though it's that kind of funny that the full storylines were cut out of almost both theatrical cuts of Aliens and Terminator 2, but the idea that in Aliens, Ripley loses a daughter because she's stuck in space, and then she reclaims a daughter in Newt when she goes to, so it's kind of the whole, like, you know, you gotta have that, like, family, it's that family element to these, like, major, like, hardcore sci-fi movies, like,
yeah.
Hardcore violent sci-fi movies, they're adding a family element, because I think we wanted rated R movies for the family. I really do.
Yeah. In Aliens, I mean, not to get like too far off, but in Aliens, I think there's a parallel between its motherhood, right? Because she faces the alien queen.
Yeah.
And so you get two mothers, you know, battling at the end. I'm protecting my kids and you're protecting your adopted kid. I mean, there's that dynamic. In this one, it's like,
she just makes reference to the idea that it's almost like John Connor sent somebody to be his dad. Like John Connor, it's not that he was trying to save the world or he was just like, I'm going to program this Terminator to be my dad. I never had somebody play catch with.
I mean, that's extra cheesy, but I think you're right.
That's fucking totally what it is. And it's not like it doesn't play well, but just like, I don't know. You get a kind of a goofy Terminator, right? He's just like, hasta la vista, baby. And like, I don't know. It's just like, I remember him kind of shooting the fuck out of people in the first one.
I thought he was a Terminator.
I thought that was really cool. But now he has to be like, I need a vacation.
Well, see, that's one of those points of contention that I have with this movie, which is actually solved. My problem with it is solved if you watch the extended version. Yeah. There's a scene in the movie in which they go into the, what is it, a gas station, and he's stitching up Sarah Connor, and she says, like, you know, about the detailed files that he gets to be a more efficient killer. He says, you know, my CPU is a learning computer, and they send us out, you know, with the thing set to read-only mode, because we're supposed to follow the programming, basically. And, you know, and John Connor's like, well, wait, can we flip that to, like, you know, write mode so you can learn? And he says, yeah. And so then there's a surgery scene where they cut the top of the head open and pull the thing out. Mm-hmm. She flips out, wants to destroy the CPU, and John talks her back into putting it back in his head. And from that moment on in the movie, the Terminator's a completely different character.
I can see why you don't need that scene.
Well, that's where he starts doing the hasta la vista, baby, and learning all about, like, are we learning yet? And, like, that happens immediately following
I read that today.
I can see why we don't need that scene, because John Connor's in the future would have flipped him to that anyway when he was programming him to protect himself in the past. So you don't need that scene. And he even says... In this one, even though it's just done with dialogue with everybody, like, they're just looking at, like, different shit, so there's no mouth movement. They just says, I'm a learning computer, blah, 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 and it goes, cool.
The more time I spend with humans, the more I learn from them. And with that one line, they deleted a whole scene,
but like,
which is, like, it's fine, but, I mean, it was such a problem for me that, like, on my first viewing, you know, when I was, like, whatever, my 20s, I was like, wait a second. You know, you're following, like, the logical process of this robot. It's like, now it's doing stuff that, like, doesn't make any logical sense. Well,
do you feel like...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, do you feel like they cover that in the scene in the car in the station wagon where he's like, you know, like, John Connor's like, you can say this line or you can say that line, or if you really want to shine him on, you can say this, and then
he's
like, he's like, no sweat, dickwad, or something like that, and he's like, well, there, you're getting it.
Yeah,
because he's not like he's coming up on his own. He's not just being an inventive fucking Terminator. Well, except for the I need a vacation
thing.
I mean, but maybe watch some TV. There's still like montage points in the movie where we don't see
detailed
what's going
files,
on.
I'm sure. And,
like, yeah, well, he's got like, there's a couple of things, you know, like his whole, like, you know, you detonate the thing, but it just click, you know. I mean, there's too much. He's too human. But I understand that is the point, I think, that the movie is trying to make. It's trying to humanize the machine. The idea being, like, if we take the machine and teach it human compassion, which I think is that
you're taking the most popular character and, you know, making it relatable to the audience.
Yeah, because the whole idea is that you had a machine with no compassion that, you know, sent Terminators back in time and wanted to, you know, nuke everybody. So if we can instruct this one, like, what is the mystery? Why can't you kill people? You know, which I thought, like, you know, the kid's explanation is pretty weak. Maybe just because you can't.
Just because you can't.
But at the end of it, you get the idea that
I'm not going to get into a whole, you know, philosophical theology.
He doesn't know. You know, and even Sarah Connor has that moment, I think, like, that's
just because they're humans and humans rock. Fuck robots.
Well, that's why you don't kill humans. That she can't kill, because she basically becomes the Terminator. This thing that she hates and fears, she becomes. She's like, if Miles Dyson is going to do this, I'm going to kill him before he does it, which is what the fucking machine tried to do to her in the first movie. Then she walks up there like a Terminator, but when it comes down to the moment, she can't kill the guy because he's a flesh and blood person. She kind of realizes that, like, oh, fuck, I am fucked if I kill this person.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I like this. I mean, that is why I like this movie. I mean, this is what this movie adds to the story. Like, even though I kind of fucking hate the you know, the robot dad Terminator and... But I think Sarah Connor's, her character is fucking awesome. Yeah. She's a mother who knows. Imagine, it's almost like, it is almost like if God went to Mary and was like, dude, your son's going to be Jesus, man.
Basically.
But you got to teach him how to do that. And so she's taking it about, like, your father died. I need to teach that your father was the soldier from the future. I need to teach this kid to become the fucking leader of mankind. And so she actually, like, she actually, what's the word? Isolates herself from her son in a weird way. Mm-hmm. She treats her son, like, I love the scene when they escape from the mental hospital and, like, she tells John to come here. He hugs her and she's, like, checking him for fucking blood and shit like that. And he gets all mad because he just realizes, well, hurt. Fuck, there's no affection here.
Yeah.
She's just trying to see if I'm hurt because I'm supposed to be this fucking, like,
yeah, well, she basically tells him he's stupid for coming before her.
Yeah, well, because she's suicidal, right? She'd rather kill, I mean, like a mother, she'd rather kill herself or sacrifice herself for her son to live, but the son kind of would rather, like, hey, I'd rather you us be together instead of you treat me like I'm supposed to be this, like, futuristic fucking dude.
Yeah.
But I like how it shows how, because I always thought the reason John Connor's the leader of man is because he's almost like, it's almost like the first person to know about it, right? If you're the first person to know about an imminent attack, you know, odds are you're going to be the more prepared, right? So I just like how we see that John Connor's already starts to learn how to, like, fuck with computers, even though they had to, like, do it twice, right? You had to, like, do it when you steal the money from the ATM so you can do it in Cyberdyne later.
That's the payoff, yeah.
That's the payoff, the fucking exposition scene.
Yeah.
So it sucks that, like, in a story, I'm like, it's an awesome idea that she's teaching him how to fuck up machines. But then when you look at the movie, you're like, hey, it's just exposition for this fucking scene. Like, maybe in the novel.
What were you going to say, Jenny, about the...
You were elaborating on Sarah Connor's character. And in that scene you were talking about that was cut out, where they actually dissect the Terminator's brain and everything. Like, that scene, I think, would have been impertinent to it, because it still shows that Sarah Connor doesn't fully trust the Terminator, because, I mean, she says she doesn't in the hospital, but, you know, John's like, no, you can trust him.
Yeah.
But it still shows, because she wants to take that chip out of him and she wants to destroy it. And he's like, no, no, we need him. We need him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that scene does too. Well, but they cut it out.
It's really cool to actually see. I mean, having, you know, when you see the first movie, then you see her reaction to seeing this thing. I mean, like, because he comes out of the elevator and he looks just like,
well, it's like her worst nightmare,
night of terror from 10 years ago. Yeah. Right,
as she's running for her life from the, or, you know, trying to escape, like, at the worst opportune, like, the worst possible moment, he shows up and walks out of the elevator.
Yeah.
And who is it? It's fucking Arnold.
Yeah,
from the first one.
And John, you know, he's like, no, he's on our side, you can trust him. And you can tell she doesn't, but then, like, gradually you just, she kind of just...
Because I don't think she should.
Well, like, I mean, robot. But they stopped elaborating on that. But in that scene, it would have shown that, like, she still has a strong distrust for him.
Mm-hmm. I think she just realized they need him, right? He's firepower. He's, like, the biggest... He's like a tank that you... I mean,
well, I think
that's also why this movie, like, to have the kid himself to be like, I got my own Terminator. You saw this fucking movie.
Every kid who saw that movie, like, loved that moment.
Well, this is a rated R movie for children.
Yeah.
It had a toy line. I've talked many times with you guys about the toy line for this fucking movie.
We were talking about, Sarah Connor's character, and it's like...
Hold on. Are we saying Connors or Connor?
Connors. Sarah Connors. Apostrophe. Possessive. Okay.
I thought Travis was saying Connors.
No.
Sarah Connors.
Sarah Connors' character has changed. Like, she has changed dramatically since the first movie. And it's like one of those moments where, like,
not
Linda Hamilton did, Black Moon Rising or something before or after Terminator, and then eventually the Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my God, I used to love that when I was
But kid. This was like, I mean, her character has changed so much. I mean, I guess as you would with the psychic knowledge of all this, you know, the psychic weight.
She's fucking haunted by it.
Yeah.
Her nightmares and shit. It's just like, it's supposed to be her son's problem, but she like holds all the weight on her.
But those are always like the roles that I'm always like, James Cameron continually does this, it seems like, in his movies. It's like, this is one of those roles that should get a person an Oscar because it's emotional but fierce. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It runs, I mean, and it's very physically intense. And it's like,
oh, she's awesome.
He almost got Sigourney Weaver an Oscar, I think, for Alien. She's
She's woman, good. Girl power.
Jamie Lee Curtis in True Lies?
Hmm?
No Oscar. But I mean, come on, that was a different role for her.
Yeah.
You know?
As far as Sarah Connor's go, or Sarah Connor, I'm sorry, I did it that time. Sarah Connor, you had said that because, note to the audience, I had not seen either of these movies, the first or second movie. I told Colin this afternoon. He was like, what the fuck? He couldn't even finish Buck. He was so astonished. But
goddamn, I read American classics.
I read two synopses on the first movie and then started to read some background story on the second one. But I want to ask you this question, was because you felt like I couldn't go into watching this movie because I wouldn't know why Sarah Connor was in a mental institution. Why is she in there? Because I don't think they gave a definitive answer to that question.
Yeah, because she broke into a computer place or something like that. They say it in this.
Yeah, they just said she was running around doing, like, illegal shit. She got caught, and then I'm sure she started spilling beans about robots and shit.
You're going to the funny farm. Really? It's covered in dialogue in this one, I think. Because the first one ends with her basically, you know, like, she knows the apocalypse is coming.
Well, that's part of the reason I started reading about the second one was because, well, why is she in the mental institution? You need to know these things, Jenny. You need to know going in.
Now, it's more the idea that, like, because of what the first, some events from the first one, like the police station massacre, like that kind of heavily, it keeps reappearing in this.
But they
one,
tell so you like, a lot. They're like from 84, the one well, from 84, the one from 10 years ago. There's a lot of like, reminding the audience, like, remember, he's the Terminator to the rest of the world, to Los Angeles. He looks like this guy from 1984.
Yeah, they think it's the same guy, which I thought that was a cool plot point.
Mm-hmm. It's weird for them. It's like a Twilight Zone thing for them.
Yeah.
Like this time around, we were talking about how when they escape from the mental institution, there's the doctor. And when he sees the T-1000 go through those fucking gates, when he like does his little like jello like thing. It's like the doctor, I mean, everything Sarah Connor's been telling him for the past 10 years is vindicated or whatever. Or not 10 years, but who knows how long
it's been. Right, so that's a missed sequel opportunity. Or
did
Kevin Silverman's
story. They do the part where they experiment, like scientists experiment on the fragments found from the previous Terminator's arm?
That was the introduction scene to Miles Dyson.
Where
they, because they found the fragments that were left in the whatever machine that was at the end
press
of the first one. And so that, I think, is the basis of the research.
Oh, so that's
on
what
Skynet.
That's what John has at the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense now. Thank you.
Yeah. What else was I going to say? Or what else were we thinking of? Anything?
I'm kind of wondering why. Okay. This is another, like, weird little stupid thing, but. It's just, I guess, something that comes to mind. In the first Terminator, the Terminator had to rip out the phone book because they really don't have any data about shit before Judgment Day for some weird reason, right? They don't know what Sarah Connor's right. But in this one, everybody knows exactly. They've got all the files on everything. Yeah. It's like, what? Yeah. How, what?
That's a discrepancy.
And we're certain that they sent all the Terminators back at the same time.
We're not certain. It's based on what you can figure out from this movie. Plus, there is a scene that was in the novelization, which was based on the original script before he rewrote it, where it started off with a gigantic battle scene in the future where you actually get to see them go in. And I think, like, you know, Kyle Reese is there. John Connor sends him through and then turns to his lieutenant and says, and the lieutenant's like, "We're done here." And John Connor's like, "No, we're not." And then, you know, you see like something that's blinking on a monitor that says that another one has gone through.
Okay.
So it was something like that. The visual effects in this movie, like, it's kind of interesting to watch it now because, you know, some of them, I don't think, you know, I mean, like some of the special effects, I mean, this was like one of the first CG movies, I want to say. Like prior to this, you had the water tentacle, right, in
Abyss. Tron,
but I mean, the water tentacle in the Abyss.
I was going to say, all they did was like, let's take the Abyss, but make it a Terminator.
Yeah, because that was the thing, I guess. So the idea of like the liquid metal.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jurassic Park was 94?
94?
93?
93?
94? 92? This was definitely before it.
But there's less CG in this movie than I remember because a lot of it, now looking at it, is practical effects. There's a lot of puppeteering, you know, I mean, when he splits.
Yeah, there's a ton.
He splits guys in half or whatever, you know, you see, like, it's this big puppet. The guy getting shot in the eye, you know, which they recreate. I saw it's in the trailer for Terminator Genesis. It looks shitty somehow now. Yeah. Like the one in this movie with the fucking
looks
puppet
good.
Looks better.
Yeah.
But the stunt work in this, you know, well, I don't know. If you want to talk about the special effects.
Well, you guys. I noticed, I mean, the blend of practical with the CG. Just the idea, like you were saying, Colin, when he splits, when Arnold splits the T-1000 down at the end during the climax with that bar, like it splits open and then it becomes, I mean, maybe it's a puppet the whole time, but at some point it goes like it cuts away. And the next time you see the T-1000, he's already reforming and it's like, it's makeup on his torso and on his shoulder. And then they cut to an insert or a close up, and it's the CG of him pulling the bar through his body.
Yeah,
and that's the only like special effect, like the CG special effect that I think that scene has. I mean, other than the initial slice down the body, I think that's CG.
Well, and there's a couple times too that I think, you know, this time I was able to identify that like the metal dude is actually like some guy covered in metal paint or whatever. It's when you're looking at Arnold. And he's fighting Arnold in the factory at the end, or the foundry. That you can tell it's like an actual, there's an actual guy there in a silver suit. you know? Like, huh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think all the liquid metal shit holds up to me, personally. I just, like, I don't know. I remember, it is such kind of like a gag thing where he'll walk out of something just to, like, I don't know. It just seems like,
The premise of the liquid metal or the actual visual effect?
Just the actual visual effect. Okay. Just the actual, and a little bit, because I mean, I think the premise of the liquid metal is just that idea that
it's like nanotechnology
or something. We were talking about
it's like
how,
the thing, every little part of it is somehow the complete system.
Yeah.
But we were talking about how
kind of like the was like kinda the Kal-El Superman world, like that shit in that world.
All the screens and whatever.
Yeah, like how all of that was a moving, living thing.
Like,
yeah, something like that. You know,
in a weird way, I just thought it wasn't. It wasn't an excuse. You think just to have a less violent Terminator movie, making a guy that can only make knives and shit like that. I mean, because this movie is clearly against like guns and shit. I mean, even though it uses tons of it, but it's just a blow up cars and shit like that. Like,
well, you mentioned that earlier. I think that is, I mean, you have to kind of take that as a point to the guys going into making this movie. It's like they made the first Terminator is a pretty hardcore movie where it's like, this is a thing. All it does is kill. it doesn't, you can't rationalize with it. You can't talk to it. You can't dissuade. I forget what the fucking, the great speeches Kyle Reese gives, but yeah. It's, it absolutely will not stop ever until you are dead. I mean, like, that is it. That thing just keeps coming. It's like the thing from It Follows, before It Follows. And yeah. So in this one, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger had a big career after this. I mean, Predator was after this.
Was it really?
Last Boy Scout was after this. Sorry, not after this, after Terminator.
I was gonna say.
Oh, okay.
Right. Maybe Twins was before this. I'm not sure. You know, I mean, Schwarzenegger became like a gigantic fucking star and had all these kids looking up to him. And I think it almost feels like it's more Schwarzenegger than Cameron, but maybe, I mean, Cameron had to be thinking about it. It's like, we need to tone down. Like, I want to do a Terminator 2, but we obviously can't have Arnold Schwarzenegger, who now has like this following, going around blasting people away as a one-dimensional killing machine.
Yeah,
we have to do something that's more...
Even though it's a radar movie, this is a radar movie for kids. That's what pisses me off about this fucking movie. A radar, how fucking irresponsible is that? It's a rated R movie for kids.
I think
the adults fell in love with the more...
But that's what I'm saying. It's a family film where people get fucking... It's just ridiculous. Well, I guess they don't get murdered. Really, they get shot in the fuck. It is, though. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying any 13-year-old kid wants to see it.
Like I said, Walmart. Yeah. Walmart had toys. I had the Terminator toys when I was 9. This is a rated R movie for children.
But when, when I was 13, or I think I saw it when I was 11, and it was like, it was hardcore to me as an 11-year-old.
Oh, they bludgeon the fuck out of everybody in this movie.
Plus a kid your age is saying fuck.
They will smack you in the face and push you against walls in this movie, like a motherfucker.
I mean, as an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
So, isn't that, that's so toned down. Terminator's going to push you into a wall.
Well, you know, as I was saying to these guys earlier, there was something in the zeitgeist, some kind of, I mean, we hadn't had the...
Gang war? You think gang war? Gang violence?
One was Columbine. That was long after. Oh, that was long after. This was like 96 or something.
But we're still talking about...
I think it was Columbine. Oh, maybe 98.
But there was, I remember, you know, living through it, there was some, you know, there was parent groups against, you know, like guns. There was this, you know... The idea of violence in movies was somehow causing, you know, violence. I remember when last Action Hero came out, they changed on the standee, you know, it was Schwarzenegger standing there with a gun in one hand and something else in the other hand, and they changed it so he had like a stick of dynamite or something in his hand instead of a gun. It's like everybody was in Hollywood was concerned about the amount of, you know.
Oh, and the movie star?
I think it was like actually in theaters. Maybe I'm getting my story mixed up, but it seems like when the movie was being marketed, there was like a concern about, you know, Schwarzenegger had an image as the guy who just went around like blasting everybody, and every kid in America wanted to be him or Stallone or whatever the hell. And so then that's when you see all these guys kind of toning down that.
Well, but if you're
that's true, and that's why he did movies like Jingle All the Way after that to kind of soften his persona in the Hollywood industry, because he did have those movies.
You know, that sucks. It's just like Eddie Murphy, Predator, all those guys. You make all your money doing dirty fucking rated R movies, and then you fucking...
But they do all those movies when they're like, when they're young, and then they have kids. And then they're like,
they have kids.
My
that's
kid
the problem. They
to
have
see
kids.
This movie. Oh. Yeah.
Does anyone think that his wife kind of resembles Lisa Hamilton? Is that her name?
Linda. Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, they have the square jaw.
Similar.
They're very masculine.
I wouldn't say they're doppelgangers, but their facial features are similar.
I think they're
she got that money. That's why do you think he's fucking doing the last stand and all that shit? He's got to fucking pay
that. Fun fact, since you're talking about, just if I could intervene for just a second. That's okay. Fun fact. Sorry, Jesus.
Jeez.
Just because you were talking about the gang violence and whatever. So in the audio commentary, James Cameron says that not only was the biker scene filmed across the street from the LAPD, or from where the LAPD officers arrested Rodney King, but they were filming during the beating Rodney King.
Wow.
Hmm.
just a fun fact.
Crazy.
Well, like I said, I mean, there's something definitely in the zeitgeist at that point in time. It, you know, the only reason that it
just,
you know,
ruins movies.
See, I don't know, but I don't know.
No, if I it, just thought that was.
I think it ruined
like Conan think, the Barbarian from Conan the Destroyer. When you take something that's hardcore R, and then you start
that's a
to,
good example.
And then you start to fucking like it's like what for children? It's a rated R movie. We don't need to make it better for children. It's for the fucking intended audience. You're actually doing a disservice to the children by trying to make something that is murderous and whatever and trying to make it more viable or more whatever.
And like defanging it somehow.
Yeah.
You're filming the night Rodney King got beaten.
But you're still seeing it, you know? You're still seeing...
How about that?
You know, you're still seeing gun violence, even though you're not seeing, like, you know, fucking tons of cops get shot up. You know, you're still seeing... I don't know, it's just stupid.
Because he's shooting them in the kneecaps or whatever.
Unless there's the people the bad guys shoot. Like, but T-1000 shoots the janitor guy holding the Pepsi. Ah, choice of a janitor!
Real quick, what's that movie? Oh man, there's just an animated film I saw where there it's really violent, but it's not blood. It's something else. It wasn't Big Hero 6. What was it? Man. It was like the fact that it was robots.
Oh, like oil or something?
Yeah, or like their body parts were just like break apart, you know. It was really like a really violent action movie, but it was robots, or you know, there wasn't any blood, so it was okay.
Ninja Turtles have always done that's why the foot soldiers were robots in 87 or whenever the cartoon came
kill
out. That
legions
way
legions of robots.
You can kill lots
cares.
Of robots.
But I think they got kind of sketchy on that too, because eventually people got aware that it was like, you know, now you're depersonalizing your enemy, right? Then they're not people, they're just robots, you know. Then you have that kind of the disposable army coming at you that, you know, you can mow through. It's like, no, we got to change that too, because that's putting a bad idea out there also.
Yeah.
For some reason, in this movie specifically, though, that doesn't bother me. It somehow, it does work for what they're trying to do, because it does... You know, it isn't then a remake of the first movie. It's like, okay, at least we are going to do something different. It's like, that's a different angle. And so it's like, let's explore it. And they go as far as they can on this whole thing of like, you know, don't kill anybody. And then the Terminator has to find out the reason why they don't kill anybody. Sarah Connor has to figure out why, you know, life is precious.
Because, even Sarah Connor, I mean, she's there, right? She fucking attacks the guy. I love that goddamn scene, dude, with that weird silencer on that like... Whatever it was, that saw or something, that machine gun.
Yeah.
Dude, that was violent. Just the guns in this movie are violent, right? Yeah. Just the type of guns they use in this movie are fucking violent. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. It's like, yeah, they don't need to show people get blown up because the sounds and the kickback that these type of weapons make are just like, holy fuck, man.
Right. Yeah.
Just real quick, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say right now that I do like this movie. But possible movie demerit. How'd the T-1000 end up at Dyson's house? Go.
Because he heard over the radio, right? Mm-hmm. No?
That's how he got to Cyberdyne. Because he was at Dyson's house and heard over the radio that he had to go to Cyberdyne. What was he doing at Dyson's house?
Oh, wasn't there something about... because that was all.
As soon as he gets to Dyson's house, that's when he hears about the break-in in Cyberdyne.
What's he doing at Dyson's house?
They cut out a scene from Dyson, too. Like, they actually, in the, what do you call it, the director's cut or the special edition, there's a scene where they show Dyson, like, working on the project. Like, he's supposed to take his kids swimming and his wife's nagging him, and...
He's at the computer.
He's at the computer and he's actually working.
Yep.
Hard at work. This is workaholic and obsessed.
Who the hell?
Yeah, they show the model. The model of the chip.
Wait. Oh, Sean's here. Wow.
Mystery guest.
What is he doing there?
Sean, hello. Right.
That's the only way to move the plot forward.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
The T-1000 is at Dyson's house.
Well, the Terminator already sets up from the beginning that the T-1000 makes all these logical fucking guesses on where people are going to go and be, right? Like, it's only logical that he's going to, you know, your foster parents are dead, you know, and the whole, it's only logical that the next step is to replace your mother and try to make contact with you. And then, of course, he's like, well, now that the mother is free, the only logical conclusion is that she's going to chase Dax and
okay,
since the fate is not whatever. I guess that's the only thing I got. I got for is they in that one little line of dialogue. It's like, oh, the Team 1000 just guesses where everyone's going to be.
That's why he's late to the party and get there first.
And yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sean just showed up. This is, like, your favorite movie of, like, all time or something, right?
Is it?
It's a very good movie. I do love this movie.
Why?
Why? Really?
Well, I guess you'll have a wrap-up,
Are we tearing down Terminator 2?
We're kind of.
We're investigating.
Okay.
I mean, okay, let me go out on a limb here, right? I'm going to say that next to Back to the Future, Terminator is the most, in the time travel mythology of the Terminator is the most ingrained in popular culture. Okay, so I know there's a bunch of Doctor Who fans going out there going, we've been out there for 50 fucking years. Okay, but I'm still saying it's not as popular. I take that back. it's not as ingrained in popular culture.
Is Doctor Who known as time travel?
I don't think. Not the same way. He's a time traveler, but there's a lot more stuff.
Everybody knows that, Terminator, when the dude sends his own father back to... I mean, everybody just knows that's the time loop of Terminator. It's the famous time loop of the Terminator series.
Is it famous because it's...
It's just fucked up. It's mind-boggling, right?
Well, I actually have a question about that. So, does future John Connor know that Kyle Reese is his father when he sends him back?
Yeah, because as the kid, he's like, his mom told him, right? His mom told him, my dad's from the future. He thought his mom was crazy.
Did he tell him who it was, though?
Yeah, because he says, I wish I'd meet him. And the Terminator's like, you will. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll be 45 or whatever.
Isn't that crazy? My father's not even born yet.
But even, like, the kid knows he's going to meet his father, but does he know who it is when he meets him?
Is this self-fulfilling prophecy in some weird way? It's like, what if?
Well, that's why.
It's weird.
That's why I like the timeline of the first Terminator so much. It's like, because it's an anomaly in time travel movies, kind of, maybe not. You're going to correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a time travel movie that where the time traveler isn't the main character. It's time travel events intersecting with the life of Sarah Connor, who is one of us. And, like, these time travelers are jumping. It's like, that's, you know, because every other time travel movie
it's
or story
time
is
traveler.
Like, yeah, I invented time travel and I get to move around in time.
Yeah.
Even though you do follow Kyle Reese from the beginning, I mean, Kyle Reese is kind of your main character in Terminator. You're with him, right, when he comes through.
Yeah, but you don't see him get into the thing in the future and go back in time.
So, Sean, do you like Terminator 2 over Terminator 1?
But you still follow him before you even meet Sarah Connor in the first one. You are with Kyle Reese. You're the first character you focus on. Because I don't know if you're supposed to think both of them might be Terminators in the first one. I don't know if they were playing with that.
I think they were because both of them seem... Because Arnold, I think at the time, was like... I mean, again, I think the movie's publicity gives us away in both movies, who is who. But in the first one, it's like Arnold was Conan the Barbarian, you know, and was there something else they did before 1984 that he was...
Hercules.
Raw Deal? No, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, like...
Pumping Iron.
He could
Mr. Universe.
Be a hero, right? And so it's like he may be the hero who's coming back. And then the other guy, when Kyle Reese does show up, he's kind of shady looking, you know, at the very beginning until... they get into the bar, and then it's like, obviously, one of them is going to be her protector and one her assailant.
Right. He's following her around and kind of dragging her in the shadows and shit. He seems fishy.
Yeah.
As he's following her.
But then the movie's marketing says, you know, here's Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Terminator, you know.
And they kind of play with this in the beginning where you might think he's coming back to kill her. Because, you know, Sarah Connor's in the opening, you know, she tells you they sent two Terminators. You see this guy come in.
I think that's more the point in this one.
Yeah, but as soon as he picks up John Connor, then he's like, I'm here, I'm sent to protect you,
You're supposed to think that up until they meet in the hallway at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. We were talking about how he was dressed that way just so Sarah Connor will react like negatively. Then he's like, oh, sorry, I was... Duh.
That's well.
I look exactly how I did. Jesus, embarrassing.
But and I wonder because that is what they want you to think. The hallway scene is the scene, the definitive moment when it's one or the other. But like we were talking earlier, and I think it's the bar, right? I mean, it's because they're making light of the situation, not as much as the third one, which we won't speak of.
Well, I think you know as soon as he saves John Connor, because it's not necessarily the hallway.
Well, it's definitive.
Well, that's the moment in the hallway, though. That's what we're,
Yeah, but he's saying in the bar.
No, I see what you're saying. You're talking about in the mall.
In the mall.
The mall is a definitive moment. But in the bar,
for John Connor's. I thought you guys were still talking about the fundamentals.
It's still up in the air, but he doesn't kill anybody during that scene.
He doesn't.
Which is kind of, it's definitely different.
T-1000 fucking,
Well, even the Terminator in the first, give me your clothes, give them to me now, and kills Bill Paxton and all those other guys in the original Terminator. But in this one, he's brutal, but he doesn't actually kill anybody. Right. So I guess they are setting it up that maybe. I don't know. I like the efficiency of the Terminator. It's like it's a cyborg logic system as seen from the year 1984 and 1991. It's very, especially the 84 Terminator is like, this is what it does. And it does it with this methodical precision. In this one, since they're bringing the 84 guy in there, it's like, okay, so he stumbles through things like a tank. His method of trying to find John Connor is to drive around on a motorcycle and just look around. Where the T-1000, the stealth model, is actually smart enough to go like, I should become a cop. Cops have access.
I've got access to
computers, authority. Right. I can ask around and try.
But also, that was the first guy, the first person he saw, too, was the cop.
That's also true.
Arnold
did get to the foster parents' house. I still can't believe they didn't show that scene, right? So a cop comes to the house and is John Connor home? I just want to ask him a few questions. You have a picture of him. Some other guy was asking about before. You're thinking about
big guy.
What the fuck did Terminator say? Where's John Connor, your son? Who the fuck are you? He just turns around and walks away or something? What was that conversation? What do you want with him?
Right, they didn't seem too perturbed about that big Arnold Schwarzenegger guy.
The dad does look a little lazy. He's sitting back watching his boxing.
I think he's dead now. Is it Xander Berkeley? I think he died of a heart attack or something. He was in Candyman.
Dude, his death shocked me in this movie, man. Where I didn't think when I first saw this movie, when you're talking to the mom. Where when she fucking just puts her arm up and you just hear something.
Through the
knife. And you hang up the phone, you go to that nice pull back and there's a knife sticking through the
phone.
But it's a perfectly safe, no gore. Don't worry, kids.
But right through the milk, so the milk is the gore.
don't worry, family.
The milk's dripping on the floor.
The milk really got it.
Yeah. Gross. Milk is family.
Yeah.
Milk is the true big
one. And Jeanette Goldstein from Near Dark and Aliens, of course, is the mom.
The mom, yeah.
Wait, Linda Hamilton, after this, you would have figured that she would have a career. She's in fucking Terminator 2, the biggest movie, right, of 1991. It had to have been.
Yeah.
Because I know that Terminator 1 became such a thing on video and on TV.
She didn't need any more money. She was married to fucking James Cameron at that point, right?
No, she was.
She don't need money.
I think she was in Dante's
Peak. And then he's like, I got Titanic money later.
She was in Dante's Peak.
Dante's Peak?
Yes.
That's all we got for Linda
I'm sure she had a family.
She had a twin sister who apparently is in one of the scenes at the end where Sarah Connor faces Sarah Connor in the fountain.
Oh, yeah. And in the extra features, the deleted scene.
Yeah, where they take the chip actually out of his head.
And why do they do that? What's the camera move? Why do they have to have the double?
Because of what they're doing to Arnold Schwarzenegger's head.
Yeah, it's a dummy.
Oh, they have to use a dummy.
A fake Arnold. Okay.
So that's why you only see the back of the dummy getting his whole head peeled off.
Yes.
And then you see Arnold actually on the other side of the mirror.
Nice.
Because they didn't have technology. They can make a liquid metal guy, but they can't, peel back Arnold's head and pull the chip out. But, they open it up and they go inside his head. And they obviously can't do that to him. So, yes.
Yeah, I was saying when we were watching the opening credits and seeing, Stan Winston and, was it Richard, not Richard Edlund, I can't remember who the ILM guy, Dennis Skotak, and those guys is like, those guys are all gone. Winston's dead. I don't think Skotak's working anymore. But they're the guys who did all the Star Wars era visual effects. You know, we're working. They probably did all the lightning strikes and whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And Stan Winston's crew did all, and maybe even the CGI. And Stan Winston's crew did all the practical stuff. But like the stunt work, I think still holds up as you know. I mean, there's because there's times when in this movie, which you know, I forgot, but you're like, Jesus Christ, that person fucking fell out of that goddamn
truck.
He
still uses rear projection for this movie. There's a bunch
of
that.
A lot of it. Well, like he did in Aliens.
I was actually just watching a documentary about how this type of filmmaking kind of, well, they say it started with Mad Max. Mad Max showed, hey, get a fucking semi-truck, get a bunch of other cars, and then just say they're being driven by robots from the future. That's a fucking sci-fi movie. Because you're still really doing like a Fast and Furious type of movie. You're just saying who's driving the trucks are from the future. I mean, that's pretty genius. That's pretty. That's that whole idea I'm talking about. Putting silver underwear on a guy and just saying he's from another planet, and you're like, wow.
It all takes place on the streets of LA.
What a concept.
Well, that's what makes it seem more. I mean, Mad Max, at least they could film out in the wasteland of Australia if shit goes wrong. But this, they're plowing through cars like.
You kept talking about all the background accidents. Like you always, like a character will come to the scene, stop, and somebody in the background will rear end somebody. That's hilarious.
I mean, they flew a helicopter under a bridge for this movie.
Dude, when they fly, when he barely pulls up over there, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, you just all have real. To imagine that the crew was sitting there going like,
oh my God. Oh,
they didn't, one of the,
dude, tell me you got that.
One of the stunt guys refused to do it, I think. No, really? That was the helicopter under the flying under the bridge. The original stunt guy refused to do it.
They
had to get someone else to do it.
Because you can't tell.
He's like, I'm not doing it.
How high up your rotor is, right? I mean, that's got to be like, fuck.
You just got to know how high this thing is, where you're going to be at the ground, and just pray for it.
As far as Cameron didn't do it himself, just fuck it.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, fuck it out of here. I'm going to do it.
Well, he's a very, like, Cameron
was.
Comes from, what?
Was
very, he's still a very,
is he?
He is a very precise director. As far as, like, I saw the storyboards from Terminator 2, and they look like the shots from the movie.
Right.
You know, he's a designer. He designed, like, the Alien Queen himself based on designs from H.R. Giger. Like, he just went off and fucking designed the thing himself.
Yeah.
He started, I think, as a... because he worked on Escape from New York. He was, like, a model builder, I think. He built, you know, the model of New York, Escape from New York, working for Roger Corman. But he's got, like, the mind of, like, a designer and an engineer. So all of his shit has, like, you know... this is how it's going to work. It's kind of like Christopher Nolan, I guess, in that kind of, you know, like if I'm going to show a truck explode, you know, hits a wall and explodes, I'm going to take time to show the cutaway to the leaking gas and the spark to at least say that Hollywood trucks don't explode all over the place for no fucking reason. Here's why. Here's how it works. Here's, you know, so you don't have to, you know, suspend your disbelief.
Right.
You know, I'm going to give you a credible way to excuse this to yourself.
There's a reason for the big explosion or the fanfare.
Yeah.
In the film.
He's always struck me, I guess, as that kind of guy. So it's like, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of like, I mean, he's been doing Avatar for like the last 100 years.
And that's just
that's all he's going to do for the rest of his career until he dies.
Yeah, but Avatar, I mean, even though we're saying it's just Dances with Wolves,
that's just like his story.
Like Dances with Wolves.
His stories have gotten shitty.
And Fern Gully, right?
Yeah.
But it's still, I think, done as well as you can do that story.
But if you're just taking a template and doing it well, woo fucking who? You know what I mean? Oh boy. You did what everybody else has done 1,000 fucking times. Just really well. And he got people to sell it, or whatever the fuck. I just, okay.
I think it's also...
anybody can make a clock. You know, any watch clock maker can make a watch, or whatever the fuck I'm trying to say.
His explodes. No, I'm just kidding.
And Titanic, I think, was like this, too. He's exploring the technology, because, I mean, to pull off Avatar as like a 100% CG world and like that amount of 3D, like the it's not maybe not coming at you gimmicky 3D, but it's an immersive 3D world that I still hear people talk about more so than like, you know, movies that are coming out in 3D today. Like it's all about Avatar and that world and watching it, you know.
Because you could sell the idea of a 3D CG character in the same 3D space as a real photographed person.
Yeah.
I think it was his
was a big deal.
Yeah, I didn't even think the 3D was good.
I never saw it in 3D. Yeah.
But I saw it in 3D in theaters. I didn't think it was good. I thought people were out of their minds.
Well, it wasn't really. the jump out.
IMAX.
But like what Brent was saying before about like, you know, the idea of pushing the technology of trying to do like, you know, this.
Push it to the limit.
It's like, but you have George Lucas, for instance, who wanted to do this and made a movie called Star Wars The Phantom Menace. Right. I mean, compared to Avatar, right?
Yeah.
We're going to say that Avatar is a better movie.
Yes.
Even though it's like, if so, yeah. It can't be just that we're in for the technology because, I mean, the technology, if you look at the CG in Star Wars, it's like it's impressive because it's wall to wall. I mean, it's an animated movie. There's real people wandering around in it. I mean, it's like Mary Poppins or something, or Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Right.
So is Avatar, I guess, you know, when you think about it, the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah.
But, like, Avatar is a much more dramatic movie where a lot of more of the stuff works better, you know?
Yeah.
It seems, you know, the character arcs do go places that make sense, and, you know.
Unobtainium. You couldn't think of anything but unobtainium. It's the dumbest fucking thing. That right there, I'm like, what the fuck? He already thinks his audience is dumb. Like, I mean, it's just one of those things.
It's a throwback to some old. I remember hearing it.
It's MacGuffin Steel.
You might be right. Yeah, but I think it's a throwback to something from like Buck Rogers.
Oh,
There's a precedent with the unobtainium, but yeah.
But it still sounds retarded.
Oh, it's just stupid sign.
It does. Yeah.
So
it's hard to get because it's unobtainium. Foundries. How many movies end in a climactic battle in a foundry?
Well, this did end the same way. Well, not the same way, but you get the same feeling. This guy wanted to end it just like the first Terminator, right? You had the semi come and fucking explode, which in the first Terminator, that's what got rid of all his skin. But in this, you know, you just get to see the dude come out with the nitroglycerin, do his like.
There's a reliance on heavy machinery, trucks.
Diesel engines. Fucking. We're just like this. Like George Miller made Terminator.
Yeah.
James Cameron just put robots in the driver's seat.
He's trying to kill the technology of the future with the technology they have now.
Yeah, but his heavy machinery fetish also carries through to, I think, Titanic, where it's the boat itself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Aliens. I mean, there's a lot of technology in that. It's really cool.
Yeah.
True Lies as a Harrier jet. No, I don't know. The abyss.
I'll take it.
The underwater thing and all that.
So yeah, yeah. I don't know. The whole like chase around. That's actually my least favorite part of this whole. I think this whole movie is action packed. Really, like for a 2-hour fucking movie, I think it really moves. But I think as soon as I get to the steel, like I'm like, oh man, the movie's over, and you're just waiting. And, like that's when it really becomes a fucking like. Everybody's just walking around going, John, mom, and the two Terminators do a little more fisticuff. I don't know. I mean, they're really like, they got nothing to do until they get to that final platform in a weird way, right? It's like, they just feel like they're chasing each other around in a circle. They're doing nothing.
I think they have, because they've got something, there's a dynamic there where it's like, you've got, you know, dude who has to protect the kid, dude who's trying to kill the kid, but in standing in his way is both the mother and the protector, so he has to like deal with both of those. Like there's times when I wouldn't say he lets John Connor go, but
oh, you think
when John
like,
Connor's already gotten down
the thing. Oh, you think they're trying to put across the idea that like, I've put you this far, John, now you have to go and be your own man. I can't.
No.
You don't think that's what he's talking about?
No.
Because the mom even says, you have to go, John. They keep doing that, right?
Everyone's just like, John, don't worry about safety. I mean, they are, because even if everybody else dies, their point is that he needs to live on.
Yeah, but they make that point a lot. Well, and that's what I'm just saying at the end. It's kind of like...
And that's one of those points.
Kill
that
those
was
Terminators.
Like, at the one point when the Terminator, in the truck chase, right? And that awesome scene where he like, he opens the door of the truck that they're in and walks across the truck bed.
A real guy did that.
Yeah. It starts unloading and I'm like, right there. I'm like, he just abandoned John Connor for a tactical advantage on the dude. But this could result in his termination. Extinction? Whatever.
He would say
he could be terminated.
That would be his words.
It's a calculated risk.
But at the end, he says that he can't self-terminate. Would that qualify? That move that he made.
No, because he was being badass Terminator. That wasn't going to kill
him.
I'm
sure. He's a Terminator. He calculated in his mind.
If you died and you didn't succeed in killing the other Terminator.
Like I said, he calculated in his head. He's a computer. The risk was worth
Yeah.
Because he did a little, his little, like, jump and tumble.
Right, the, yeah. The worst, was, if anything, he was just going to jump off and leave it behind and then run.
Think,
and
like, if you think of the self-terminate, like suicide, I mean, he was taking a risk, but he wasn't committing suicide.
Yeah, you take risks.
Yeah,
huh?
He wasn't just putting
like
his head.
It's like, I've been here for, you know, 70 years on Earth waiting for John Connor to be born. I may as well at some point just kill myself.
Yeah,
can't like, do that.
He can't step in front of a Mack truck and hopefully, you know, well, it would have to be a fucking, I don't know what it would have to be.
A tank would have to blow apart.
A tank, yeah.
I may have been paraphrasing Terminator Genesis. Dear God.
We've made it this far. Don't bring it up.
We were talking about how retarded it was that the T-1000 puts his knife finger through Sarah Connor's arm and is like, call to her. It's like, I mean, I can only imagine. Well, no, that doesn't make any sense. I was gonna say I could only imagine maybe that was due to his glitch thing, but he did it anyway. He still fucking turns into her.
Yeah,
it's like he should have. He should have killed her. Turned into her.
Now
call
that's
for
the
John.
Thing. Why
that's
did
what he
he
does.
Kill her?
He kills everyone.
It's stupid.
He should. Now that I'll give you that. He should have killed her.
Should have killed her.
All he does is say call to John.
And that would have been it.
How did the Terminator? That's when the Terminator cuts him in half.
The only thing that might make sense is in the extended version, you know, he has the glitchy thing.
Oh, he does cut him in half.
Maybe something happened with the glitches.
Well, but he does turn into her, though.
Yeah, he does turn into her later.
He does cut him in half, though.
He does.
That
and then
gets you out of that.
All right,
never mind everything I just said. He cuts him in half. That gets him out of that situation.
So it's like, why wouldn't you just, you're a Terminator. That's what they do. They just kill.
He just put it in her shoulder. It was so stupid. Yeah. It was the worst Terminator moment in the world. It goes against everything Kyle Reese said about Terminators.
Unless there's a tactical stop at every advantage. I don't know what it is to keeping her alive.
Yeah, what's the technical advantage? Because all he has to do is have her. I mean, John Connors would have fell for it if his actual mother would have like came up behind her and said, "John, get down."
Indeed.
Right? Yeah,
he would have succeeded because
unless he saw the melting feet. Which was that? Was that in the cut?
No. I think that's the director's cut where it's like mixed into the grates.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That doesn't really.
But it just doesn't work. Mm. It's like, Sarah Connor should be dead right there. Like, I don't buy it. A Terminator got a hold of her and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. It's because, it's a family film, ma'am. We don't do that in this film.
We'll just kill her off. Kill her off with cancer.
We just hurt people. I'll hurt your knees and your shoulders. That's what happens. even when she shot that Dyson dude, shot him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. Shoulders you can live from.
Yep.
He'll live. You got a reprisal of the stay here. I'll be back because you have to.
Yeah.
Of course.
There's the trust me.
So I think they were trying for a new one with trust.
That's in the trailer, I think. Yeah. And the Hasta La Vista Baby, which actually did become like
a big Terminator.
That's the Terminator 2 line, I think.
It really is.
Isn't that a toy?
It was in a
Taco Bell.
There was for a long time that summer, there was like 90s pop culture Pepsi played, and you could collect 90s pop culture phrases, and one of them was Hasta La Vista Baby. Oh, and if you collected all the caps, you won prizes.
Did the Taco Bell dog do it too?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Probably. Taco Bell. Oh, he did a thing with Godzilla. I don't think he did anything with. I mean, he wasn't around for Terminator.
I feel like there was.
He did later on. You're right.
Terminator 3, maybe.
And then the worst line in any killer robot movie. What no killer robot should ever say to a little boy.
I need
boy.
A vacation.
No. Now I know why you cry.
But they talked about
now
it earlier.
I know why you cry.
They talked about it earlier.
A killer Terminator.
But that goes.
But he's being reprogrammed.
Oh, I don't give a shit. It's just the worst thing in the world. It's like he could have
not.
Here, John, I made you this flower pot. Yeah, he could have like.
No,
yeah.
That's Terminator Genesis.
I was gonna say he probably is like. I wrote a song for you, John Connor.
I kept.
He's the leader of the future.
Like, I watched that movie. If it decided to just go that bad, I'd watch it.
He goes totally human. He goes like feelings.
I'm sorry,
and all.
John. I'm sorry. I have to go away. Go and to tell someone you're going away is to sugarcoat the idea that I'm
going to
die.
I'm going to.
I'm going to kill myself.
A Terminator farm.
I have to die now. Get away.
I'm going to the Terminator farm.
There's a Terminator farm. Don't worry. We all go there.
We all run free in the fields.
Seriously, die. Your parents take your pets.
I'll have friends there. They all look exactly like me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Just
like, don't
but
worry,
I love
John,
him lowering himself.
That can send back
her lowering him.
Okay. No, well, yeah, her lowering.
And then you get the thumbs up.
The thumbs up is better than that's why you don't need. Now I know why you cry. The thumbs up is actually better than anything. Like I can actually get like a tad teary on a certain moment.
And then
moment.
He shakes hands with Sarah Connor, like, there's respect there where she didn't have it earlier. Yeah. Oh, come on.
We're talking about how they, we did talk about how they forgot
ending.
That there's another Terminator arm stuck in the fucking
gears.
In the gears.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sean.
When T-1000 traps the Terminator, he's got to cut his arm loose.
True.
They don't fucking go get that arm and throw it in the lava.
Well, I mean, that we didn't see. Yes, true.
So, yeah, we didn't see it because, I mean, what, shit, the movie really just fades out.
But you
after
can't really do anything
himself,
with the
right?
arm. Like, the chip
the arm
is what
and
based.
The chip.
That's what
they,
I said.
The chip is what everything's based off. The arm is just like, here it is.
It might be made out of unobtainium.
If you don't have the chip.
Fuck you.
And that's what you think? If they don't have the chip, it's useless?
Oh, yeah. If they don't have
well,
the chip,
but,
I mean, they can...
That's the
I
brain.
Still have to say there's okay. still advanced circuitry and shit in there that they can somehow back, you know...
Redevelop the chip?
Yeah,
reverse
well,
engineer
at least make the endoskeleton as efficient as it was. Maybe not have the processing unit for... Because all that was going to be the processing unit of Skynet. You know,
Arnold gets lowered halfway into the stuff. He's like, oh, no, shit. No, the other arm. Get the other arm. Don't go back.
Damn.
No, fuck. Get me out.
Dude, one of my favorite kind of Terminator things is if you play the RoboCop versus Terminator game, they use in that game, they use the you know how RoboCop
the
has
glove?
The data spike. Skynet uses that and uses Alex Murphy's AI, like his brain to create the Skynet AI. Like it like maps his brain. It's crazy. It's a far out idea that like it really uses RoboCop. It's like, holy fuck, RoboCop was a very important part to Judgment Day, to getting the Terminators up to that working. It's pretty interesting. It's written by Frank Miller.
Yeah.
That's why it's so like, holy fuck. This is like, holy shit, this is the Terminator movie that was never made.
Yeah, RoboCop. But he also wrote RoboCop 2. So
hey, RoboCop 2 is awesome. Awesome.
All right, well, okay.
Plus, come on, that's a Frank Miller script that's not even like, you know.
Timer may or may not have run out, so we should probably get to wrap-ups on the Terminator. Jenny's been over there writing a novel or an essay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm homework? Not writing a novel.
The song, John Connor, you are the leader of
leader of the pack.
No,
the
I was trying something different tonight. I was researching fun facts about Terminator 2. Colin usually is a vat of useful knowledge when it comes to
a
movies.
Vat. Yes,
you are a vat,
oh, yeah.
sir,
wide and deep.
But I thought I would steal your thunder tonight.
Oh no!
So that's what I've been doing, is looking up fun facts about Terminator 2. So well, of course, I think you all know this. This was the highest grossing movie of 1991. You probably all knew that. Okay, before I start reading off the fun facts, I will say that I did not see this movie. Colin almost pooped his pants when I told him I did. I had never seen this movie. I'm kidding.
That's true. No, he, I did. I actually shat.
No. But he was so astonished. He could not. He said, what the He couldn't even finish fuck. He was so astonished. He lost
couldn't
his...
Couldn't
fuck.
Finish
his
fuck.
Fuck. Couldn't finish fuck. The yeah. Colin Clark story.
That's going to go on my gravestone now. Thank you very much,
But
John.
I did read synopses of the first one, and then
have you not
the
seen
second
the first one?
One? And I did. I read two synopses.
This is where Sean gets to go, what the...
Jesus.
I read two because...
I'll just say fuck.
I know.
Finish
I know.
Off where he started.
But... Well, I asked Brent if I needed to watch the first one. He's like, no, you don't need to. And then Travis said he saw the second one before he saw the first one. And anyway, so.
Well,
but
I did,
Colin
too.
Colin just would not stand for it. So,
this
anyway,
aggression will not
we're
stand.
getting off track here. But it was a good movie. I recommend it. Obviously, it's a goddamn American classic.
There you go.
Don't say it if you don't feel it.
No, I do. I mean, I just never seen it.
You've seen it once.
I'm not a huge Arnold fan. I'm not a huge Arnold fan. I'm sorry. And that's why I haven't seen this movie.
How deep is that grave you're digging over there?
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to finish this off with some fun facts about Terminator 2. So, one, it was the first film to have a production budget more than $100 million.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not surprised.
And then James Cameron blew that with Titanic. I think he went over $200 million.
God, I'm sure.
Same guy.
Sure, I'm sure.
Or maybe Waterworld.
He's making it back.
Okay. And then, Travis, I just want to let you know that I did look up to make sure that the model for Arnold's...
800?
It was 800, but it said it was reprogrammed. That's
well, yeah, the reprogrammed. I just wonder why it says, like, Cyberdyne System Model 101. It's yeah. like, the why does it call it a T-800 in the first one?
It's
different specifically
series,
says.
It's right. Series T-800.
Model, yeah, ones series,
are, model 101.
It's, yeah, there's 101 series, and there's T-800. That means there was a T-700, 600, 500. It. So there's just subcategories of the 101.
I just got, by him saying the Model 101,
it's
I got
not mentioned a lot. Yeah.
Well, because, yeah, they don't even...
It's usually T-800, T-1000.
Yeah, they don't mention a whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did research that. It is the same. Okay. The date of the fictional Judgment Day, which is August 29th of 1997, is the anniversary of one of the Soviet Union's first detonation of an atomic bomb, which occurred in 1949.
It's also somebody's birthday.
It was my 15th birthday, ladies and gentlemen. You all died on my 15th birthday. Anybody not wearing 200 million degree sunblock is going to have a real bad day.
Wait, so since Judgment Day takes place in 2029, if the freak show lasts that long, I'm going to have a fucking year of time travel movie.
Yes.
Boom.
Right there.
It's a in good, 2029.
That's a good
in
idea.
In 2029, a year of time
part two.
Travel. Part two.
part five. Come on.
We, I'm right, sure Blade we Runner is 2029. Yeah, we got a couple more.
Yeah. So.
Okay. You want to say. Go ahead.
Is that your wrap?
No. I thought you were going to say something. No. Okay.
I just don't.
Okay. I have three more. Three more. Okay. Robert Patrick mimicked the head of the. Mimic the head of movements of a bald eagle to do his Terminator movements. He was mimicking
oh, really?
A bald it was eagle. A predator. It was a predator
when he
animal.
Did T-1000. Hmm. That's what he was doing.
That's cool.
I thought it was stupid that he looked at that mannequin like he was kind of like self-like. He's like, I look like that. Yeah, that's the dumbest fucking thing in the world.
Inspiration.
It would have been better if he just like reached up to be like, are you me?
That's what
you
want another one?
Well, when I was a kid, that read as he only turned silver because he saw that fucking mannequin, right? When I was a kid, talking about when you're looking at visuals and looking at whatever,
like, he's like, I, like
I
that.
Read that as like, that's cool. And then turned into that just for a split second, even though that's not what they're going for. But it's even more retarded that he's like, that's what I look like.
The vein terminator.
All right, when the project was first announced in late 1984, the projected budget was $12 million. And the final budget was, any takers?
125.
35. We'll go Price is Right rules. Closest without going over.
I'm going to go with like 100 and... Shit. Go with 110. I'll go 110. You're at what?
125.
And you're at 130? 125?
I said 100.
You said 100.
Brett wins. It was $102 million.
102.
Oh, my God.
That was my first guy. Instinct was 105.
Yeah.
I think that was your first fact, wasn't it?
No. It was third or fourth, actually.
Well, what was the first one about $100 million?
It was the first one to go over.
Over 100. Okay.
Everyone said over 100.
Yeah.
Oh.
But no one knew that it was actually the original budget was 12. Okay, and then the final one, which I thought was most entertaining, was Billy Idol was James Cameron's original choice to play T-1000, but a motorcycle accident ironically prevented him from taking
cool.
the role.
Interesting.
I think that would have been cool.
Billy Idol.
Billy Idol.
I watched that movie.
I would.
Yeah. Would have made him a star before would've, the Doors.
Should have done it for Terminator Genesis.
Yeah,
would have been better.
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sean, if you mention Terminator Genesis one more time.
Terminator Salvation.
That's not much better.
It's
that's better than the third one. But
yeah, these are Jenny's fun facts about Terminator 2. I recommend the movie, Travis.
Oh, man. It's funny how much I dislike this movie, but I do think of it as being like one of the... I mean, this is one of the best sci-fi movies of the 90s, right? I mean, just because... There's something so hardcore about it, right? Like I said, even though no one gets shot, people get their fucking faces smacked in a lot.
Many people get shot.
Anytime, well, in the knees and shit. There's no...
The guy in the hallway gets shot?
By T-1000. Only T-1000 kills people in this movie.
Sure.
Everybody else, this is a pussy movie. It's really pussy. For as many guns that are in this movie, there's barely deaths in this movie.
Dude gets stabbed through the chest. I know it's T-1000, but dude gets stabbed through the chest. Let's see.
Get stabbed in the eye. All right, whatever.
Did dude anything? Get stabbed through the eye.
Is that your wrap up?
I guess it is. Like I said, it's a pussy movie that, like, it's hardcore because people get punched a lot. They get their noses broken. They get pushed in the walls. They get... But, yeah, I mean, I remember I did, by the time I was probably 16 or 17, that's when I was kind of done with this movie, because I just realized, God damn it, you know, the Terminator 1 is so awesome, because that's what a Terminator is, this killing machine. You want it to kill things. You don't want it to go and be like, no, be nice to each other. It's just fucking stupid to me. It's just stupid. It goes against, I don't know, it just goes against what I want in a Terminator movie. I don't like that it, like, is there to raise John Connor. It's just stupid to me. It just seems like, fuck, man, we got this really solid sci-fi movie, and we're, like, fucking it up with this, like, weird little family drama thing going on here. What this movie has is that, I call it the George Miller action, where you get in a car and you start driving and smashing into shit. You run for the next car. This has the Mad Max angle to it. This has that high octane. That's what you call it. It's a high octane fucking thrill ride. Like, you know, and I mean, I've always loved, I mean, Sarah Connor, I fucking love Linda Hamilton in this movie. She's the most badass fucking bitch in the world. Like, she is a super feminist in this movie. I love her in this fucking movie. She is scary in this movie. But Linda Hamilton, she's more Terminator than any Terminator in this movie until she has her, like, little, like, savvy breakdown when she's about to, like, save the world, which I don't know. Why should she feel bad? Oh, because the son's like, not my dad! And she has to be like... No, have her breakdown, which I'm like, it would save the world. Yeah, I'd shoot through the kid. No, I'm joking. To save the world. I'm just saying to save the world. I mean, I just don't like it when I feel a filmmaker like this. To me, this was like a filmmaker going back on what one of his early works was. Oh, I made this hyper violent fucking movie, and now that I make all this money and we're all responsible adults, now we have to make some fucking like a public broadcast announcement or a, you know, whatever, about how violence is bad, and you gotta, like,
who hurt you, Travis?
Look at kids. It's not about who hurt me. Who hurt James Cameron after Terminator? Like, who stuck
one
a
of his,
gun in
one
his,
of his
face?
Wives
and
divorced,
like,
him, I guess.
Is it entertaining
to, like,
you?
I don't remember a story about some kid, like, he killed the entire family.
Because
he watched the Terminator.
It's just one of those things where...
No, that's not saying. I don't remember it, but who knows? You know, James Cameron's like, fuck,
so
man. I gotta be more responsible.
Well, I mean, it's a recommendation because people get their fucking faces slapped the shit out of. You know, I mean, that's why I do like this movie. It's like, this movie, you want to learn to bludgeon the fuck out of people? This is your movie, dude.
Well,
I mean,
as I recall, when Brent was doing his, you know, he's been doing his travel through time through movies, you were the one that said, when the fuck are we going to watch Terminator?
Terminator. That's not Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Okay.
Terminator's Terminator.
Okay. My fault.
Sometimes proceeded with the
yeah. So I mean,
operator.
It's one of those things where, I'll always recommend this movie because I'll always go back and watch this movie at least once every like 5 years or so. You always got to watch this movie once in a while,
but
just
you
because.
Prefer the first one?
Oh, totally, fucking okay. A. Because the first one is, I mean, it's the original idea, right? This is still kind of a, we're still kind of rehashing ideas from the first one. They just made it. They had a bigger budget, you know, a bigger star. You know, they had no star in the first one, and now that they got the star to come back, it's just a different thing, right? So, yeah. So I do recommend it, but I would recommend the theatrical cut just to get a little bit something more out of it than your first time or your first theatrical run or whatever the hell. Just to get, you know.
The extended cut?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you recommended the theatrical cut for your first time?
The extended cut.
Well, I just recommend watching both cuts.
Okay.
I think they referred to it as the special edition.
Yep. I remember, right? Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a reluctant, but I guess I'll still I'll still say it's pretty cool.
In the annals of action movies, Terminator 2 has to be in, like, any top 10 list. I'm looking at Brent, because, like, I think we just looked at, like, after Fury Road, we were looking at, like, one of the, you know, Terminator 2 was on, like, all those lists. I mean, like, you'd put it in, like, the top 10 action movies of all time. I think because of the physicality of the stunts, I think, you know, it's just the scope of it, the largesse, right? I mean, it's I think it was one of the first movies to blow up a building. I think Joel Silver got beat by a couple of years because he blew up a building at the beginning of Lethal Weapon 3.
Yeah.
So that was after this. Was after this? Was it? Or right before? And then Cameron's like, we're going to blow up a building. And
I don't know. I usually go to you for the years on this shit. I can't remember. But it's close. Slipping.
Yeah.
It's close.
But as an action movie goes, I think this is a goddamn American classic. Well, I mean, only Americans really do action movies well.
What?
So, okay. Well, this type. Okay, so this type of
Australians,
you know, tweet your responses.
Seems to do
that
it really well. I was just saying it.
Gareth Edwards, what's his
George
name?
Miller?
No, yeah, Australians and the guy who fucking did the raid. He's Australian.
Oh, is he?
Is he English?
The raid,
Gareth. Yeah, he's Gareth.
I thought I was assuming it was some dude from Top.
Okay, I'm gonna take back everything I just said.
The raid. I just imagined.
No, it's not. It's an English dude. Crazy. Yeah, or Australian or New Zealand something.
But it's all informed from movies like this, for sure.
I think this movie has, I mean, it's a sequel, so it suffers from sequelitis, where I think, you know, some of the best ideas were done the first time. I think in the first film works better. And, I mean, to me, the first film is like a sci-fi slash horror movie.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this thing just will not stop coming after you, and that's the
until you're dead.
Yeah. That is the driving force of it, and it's just that kind of inevitability. It's like, how do you stop the unstoppable thing? You know, it's like Sarah Connor is small compared to this force that's, you know, just crushing everything around it, trying to get to her. And that's powerful. I think the time travel, you know, if we're talking specifically as a time travel narrative, the time travel in the first movie is self-contained and functions as like pretty cool, you know, time travel story. It's that causality paradox where like somehow I met the guy. Wait, what were we saying?
Kyle Reese appears. Bed.
Yeah. Kyle Reese appears first and then, you know, meets Sarah Connor. Then she has John Connor and then John Connor. That is a causality paradox, right? This movie creates some other type of paradox, which I, you know, it's like you're making a future where there is no future now to send back the Terminators in the first place. So that's not a causality paradox. It's a paradox. I'm not sure exactly what.
Yeah, wouldn't John Connor disappear?
Well, this one has to be going on the idea of the multiple John timeline theory.
John Connor should disappear, right?
Why would John? The Terminator.
There is
right?
no future for Kyle Reese. The future is different.
His future is his father never gets sent back in time.
That's true, but I mean the fact that
no robot war.
But his father's born after him. So what the fuck is up with
he
that?
He can't send his own father back to impregnate him. Unless
his father's born
like,
after him, but then nothing else happens. He just goes on
yeah,
to live a normal,
lives his own life.
No
somewhere.
Robot
never meets Sarah
life.
Connor because she's going to be like 60 by the time he's like 20.
But everybody always skates over the fact that his father was born after him.
Oh, you're saying
like that's
the first
a
movie.
Huge deal, right?
No, but that's a causality paradox caused by the advent of time travel. You can have those things because of time travel.
I don't think
he creates those.
That's why time travel doesn't exist. So I'm not going.
You can't.
This is why it's called science fiction.
There has to be another original timeline before the causality. There has to be.
No, there doesn't.
Has to be.
There
doesn't.
Has to be.
Well, because there that's a. Be that, what is something. The name? What is a paradox mean?
Paradox means it doesn't work.
But it needs to come
right. You can't have a person who impregnates their own not impregnated mother.
If Kyle Reese went back in time without John Connor sending him back in time and had John Connor, then John Connor had, it's one of those things where it's like, you gotta make sure to tell your kid to send me back in time.
Yeah, because I think that has revised timelines, but there isn't.
But we don't know that.
But it works as a one timeline thing.
Because it's a multi-timeline thing.
Because this is because it works as it's both. The idea, I think, and that's why I like the movie, is that, you know, it's the time traveling is impacting this woman's life. So you're seeing it linearly as a movie, you know, running, you know, forward in time, and these are the events that happened in the movie in this order. That's the movie is the running time of the movie is time going forward, right?
Yeah.
And so in that, Kyle Reese appears before he is sent back in time. And that's just, that is the causality paradox created by having time travel.
But so with that theory that you laid out, the fact that, so like if they change the future,
I was just talking about the first movie where I think it all works. Once you bring the second movie into it, they fuck it all up. Okay. Which is why I like the second movie less from a purist stance where it's like, I like the fucking Terminator, and then Terminator 2 like ruins the timeline of Terminator.
Yeah.
But it succeeds at being a better produced, you know, more expensive, you know, balls to the wall action movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, as an action movie, I like Terminator 2 any day of the week. It's like, that's the one that's going to be, like, you know, exciting.
Yeah.
But Terminator 1 is a better, to me, time travel movie. And I also like the relentlessness of the logic. You know, it has this logic that it adheres to. It's just like, we're just going to play this right down the fucking road. It will not stop until it kills her. You know, it's just.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Well, I told you this earlier, but when I was reading the synopses on both these movies, I was more intrigued by Terminator 1.
It's scarier. I mean,
but
you know,
Brent's Die Hard. I mean, I haven't seen the first one, obviously, but I mean, most people, not just Brent, but most people are biased to Terminator 2. They like Terminator 2 much better than the first one. So
I think Terminator 1 still falls into the, that's an old movie. Like, people still think it's an old-looking movie. They don't want to watch
budget.
It.
I think that's the thing that has going against it.
What is,
if you can get past that, 84. But if
91?
You can get past that, yeah. I think it has,
it's
foundation as a science fiction film.
For sure.
Checks out better than Terminator 2. As a time travel movie, it checks out better than Terminator 2. And as a horror movie, you know.
Did we ever figure out what year it's supposed to take place in?
94.
Even though it was this one takes place in 94, even though
it was filmed in 91, but it's supposed to be 94.
But this movie, Terminator 2, I mean, I'd still definitely recommend it because even when I think it's flawed as hell as far as a time travel movie, like that's, I guess, where the mechanics start to fuck up and the fact that they're over humanizing the robot, which I think, you know, to its own fault, but to an entertainment credit, I think it still succeeds better than a lot of other movies do. And I think, you know, as far as action movies goes, if that's what you're looking for, it's like, you know, it's one of the greatest action movies out there. And it has, like, you know, again, it's a smart movie. It's not stupid. I think, you know, Cameron's a good writer because he co-wrote this, produced it, directed. I mean, it's his show. And it's really capable, really well done, totally deserving of, you know, being you know, the greatest movie, the highest grossing movie in 1991 and the you know, a great action movie for the ages, Sean.
Indeed. I hate that I have to follow you on that, because you and me have the kind of the same thoughts on the movies. It is definitely one of the greatest action movies ever made. I love this movie. I think that if you don't, as far as what Travis called a pussy movie, I think you have to, I think you don't want to, you obviously don't want to do what you did in the first one, unless you can do it differently and better. But I think you, in expanding on the whole Terminator thing, I like the family dynamic of all that. I think not only do you get the action in the movie, but you also get, I think it gives a heart to the movie. And I,
does Terminator need heart? Well, that's what I'm saying. That's my question.
Does it need it?
Maybe not.
But I think if you...
Because the first Terminator was awesome without heart. But it had the love story of Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese.
Well, that's your preference, though. You may not give it heart, but...
And it gives you... I mean, it expands and it gives you...
It's a different interest.
It is a different interest. And I think... But they are very different movies. Like Colin said, Terminator 1 being it's a chase movie. It has more horror elements than this. Again, not as much action, but I think, in Terminator 2, I think that story of the family, I think it gives it more heart. I think it gives it more impact. I think it's a great way to expand the story. I think if you try and do kind of the same stuff, if you don't go that route, you get the last three movies they've made in this series. Like, he expanded it into, a great direction, whereas the movies made after this kind of tried to, like, oh, you love these elements of this? We're going to do the same thing, just in a different setting. Mm-hmm. And it gives you shitty, different levels of shitty movies. I love that about this movie. I give it 5 out of 5, Arnold Needs a Vacation. I think it's a great action movie, this is a rewatch for like every couple months. I'll pop this in and watch it again. I love this movie. It's great. I agree in some parts where Terminator
don't want Terminator to be a stepdad.
No,
it's just fucking sucks.
There's some parts where Terminators don't act like probably Terminators technically on a logical basis should act, or they shouldn't act. Like, they wouldn't do certain things. Like, why didn't he kill Sarah Connor right then and just impersonate her and then go after John? That makes more
sense. Like, that's movie logic. It's like, we want the movie to keep going.
The better movie, and not getting too out there, the better movie is to go the way they did. And I think that, I think the way he went with this with the family dynamic makes a better movie for me. Obviously, I definitely recommend it. It's one of my favorites.
Sweet.
What are we at? 4 for 4 so far, right?
I think everybody's recommended it.
Whether they got shit to bitch about or not.
Should be. I still like fucking semis crashing into bridges, so it's still a good movie.
Did anybody talk about the third T-1000 hand? Anybody bring that up?
No, we didn't bring it up.
We talked about it during the movie. Which is part of the...
Which, I don't know, can you gain more... Can he add more mass? Because if anything, those should have been smaller arms.
He probably had smaller... Because
he can't gain more mass. He can't subtract or add mass. So he can't get an additional arm. So I can imagine he can, like...
He can't gain... He does get, like, bigger... The cop is bigger, but he's shorter, I'm guessing. So he can expand that mass.
Yeah.
He's shorter.
And
I'm sure his legs are, like, little... tiny sticks.
Yeah, maybe he had no legs. Because
he didn't need them.
But there's nothing to say that he's not like hollow inside either. You know?
That's what I wonder as well. Like, but I always wonder, like, what is the CPU that operates the T-1000?
I have no idea.
That's a big question.
Like I was saying before, I think the reason he is knifey is to make this less violent. He's not shooting people. He does shoot people, but really, it's all stabby stabby. It's,
I don't know, stabby stabby can be more violent than shooty shooty, like, as far as I'm concerned, but...
I mean, it wasn't as
good.
It was violent enough.
There's
stabby
moments.
Stabby stabby versus shooty shooty.
They're like, I know they didn't show blood, but the idea of, I remember as a kid watching the scene where the milk carton... Goes through, and there's some blood, but
I just remember. Isn't there just blood on his mouth?
Right, not it's in just the, a little bit. Yeah,
not in the milk. A little bit on his mouth, or
but
something
like that. I'd never seen anything like that. The idea of like the knife going through the carton into the mouth, into the that's kind of cool.
Oh no, it's very cool.
This movie for me worked as a kid, and it works now. And I think that gives it a lot of that's at least a couple stars. The fact that you can watch something as a kid, and I know, Travis, you're saying it's a rated R movie for kids, and I think it is. And when I say kid, I mean, like 11 years old. But I think that the fact that it can be maybe it's more intense as a kid, but I think that even to this day, and I think a lot of it has to do with the soundtrack of the film too and the score, it feels like a very intense, serious film. Watching it this time, I noticed like maybe one or two jokes, but like I used to watch this movie like every night before I went to bed, and I would only get through maybe, you know, like the first half hour or something. But I was like, this is the most like serious film about time travel I've ever fucking seen. You know, like this is like the adult version of Back to the Future, even though it's nothing like it. And I know, but it has time travel in it. And the first one always intrigued me about the whole time travel thing and the paradox, the causality paradox. And this one does too. I think, Travis, you were touching on it, the idea of there wouldn't be a judgment day without sending back the Terminators to create the seed, to plant the seed in the minds of the scientists that build the robots that create the judgment day. Like, that whole, that it's like a mind fuck, you know? I mean, that's a causality paradox that we're talking about. Like, you don't have the future situation that's going on to send people back through time without sending
which,
them back,
which means the original, which means the date of August 29, 1997 is pushed up since the CPU and the ARM from the future was left. That means the original. That's what I'm saying, dude. There has to be an original timeline. Like Judgment Day has to be later than 97.
If I mean, the dates
there
change,
has to
there
be
has
a different fucking timeline.
Solved once
in
and for all.
Terminator 2, I will agree with you. There has to be. In Terminator 1, there doesn't. Terminator 1 at
like,
the end,
I
that
like
fucking
that you,
thing.
I like
the
how you drift between worlds where just one movie exists.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Because in Terminator 1, it's like
Terminator,
the whole. What's the snake eating
to.
Itself? It's the. What? Ouroboros?
No, it's.
No,
Ouroboros.
Ouroboros. Yeah, Ouroboros. Ouroboros. Ouroboros.
Now. I'm going to bring it up, but I know I said we shouldn't mention it, but Terminator 3.
Like, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. I'm going to talk about it in my wrap.
That's why, you motherfucker. Just like, no, don't talk about it. It's horrible. And now we talk about it.
But, right? I mean, they pushed Judgment Day back.
They did.
To a later date. So
indeed.
It's
still going to happen. They just, they just pushed it back. And somehow a liquid? I don't get the third Terminator. What is it?
It's a combination.
It's a liquid and a fucking?
Yep.
It makes no sense. Yeah. If the liquid Terminator can make hard knives, it could probably form itself into a hard version of a Terminator. Am I right?
Yes,
am I right? It could look like humans and be solid. Can it look like a solid Terminator?
I
don't get the third Terminator.
It can't do complex machines.
Oh, but the third one can,
but,
right?
But
the third one
can
actually make a
But
a
it can be a human somehow.
Yeah.
It is a complex. It's a super complex machine. Should be able to make anything it wants, for Christ's sake.
But it has
guns.
To make, it has to make
you need
actual
chemicals.
Physical contact with whatever it does.
You need
so
extra chemicals and shit. To
and
make.
It doesn't do moving parts.
It should be able to do that too.
But it doesn't
make
do
the chemicals.
Parts.
Why should it make the chemicals?
No chemicals and moving
every
parts.
Every molecule
doesn't work that
of a fucking thing is oh, whatever. It's liquid metal, for Christ's sake.
Did he touch Arnold? Did T-1000 touch Arnold?
Yes,
right, he could do the outside of him, but he couldn't do the inside.
Well, I'm sure
I'm sure the T-1000 plus.
He's like, sorry, wrap up.
You mentioned Terminator 3. We're just trying to get off the subject.
Go ahead.
Terminator 2, I would definitely give 2 thumbs up or 5. What did you say?
5 out of 5, Arnold needs a vacation.
Absolutely. Score.
All right, so that's Terminator 2 on this long-winded, I'm sure. I don't know what time we're at. Episode of Saturday Night Freak Show.
I got you, don't touch
that. Next, as always, you can. Next week, we're going to watch... next week, we're going to watch Reanimator.
Yay.
Reanimator on the Saturday Night Freak Show, so you can prepare yourself for that. Holy shit, Sean's going to be here next week. And until then, find us on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, and more. And until then, the basement is going dark.